بسم الله، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، ونعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. I greet all of you with the greeting of guidance, peace and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the whole universe. So my name is Sabil Ahmed. I have a privilege to introduce you a dear that I have met recently online, because we cannot travel to Canada, he cannot travel to US. I met him on the Zoom meetings. I'm really impressed by the work that he's doing to propagate the true Islam to humanity. And his name is Brother A.K. Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you so much, Dr. Sabil Ahmed. Thank you so much.
So today is going to be a really, really important discussion. And this is for the educational purpose. So a really important disclaimer is, we are not here to bash any faith, any culture, any race, any religion. Our purpose is to get to know the truth and share the truth. Is that not so?
Very true, Dr. Very true. It will be a very informative and just purely for the sake of information.
All right. And to please our Creator, because we are supposed to seek the truth.
Of course. Of course. That's our intention. That's our intention. That's the purpose of our life, to keep our Lord happy and agreed with us.
And second important item is, as we introduce the topic, is that there are many people around the world. There are 1.8 billion Muslims. But there are many, many other individuals who have Muslim names. They claim to follow the Quran. They claim to follow Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. But we need to understand that what does it mean for a person to be a Muslim? I went one time to Baha'i Temple. There's a big Baha'i Temple in Chicago. I went there. And when I saw all of these Arabic inscriptions, I saw the Quranic ayahs written all over. And my children are asking, you know, Abuji, are these people Muslim? How come their masjid is not like the masjid we are used to? Because they have pews and chairs and sofas, and there is no carpet up there. So I told them that, no, they are not Muslims because they considered somebody else. They have added, right, as you know.
Yes. That's the, Doctor, you said very nicely this thing, because there are many peoples, there are many groups who are practicing the same as the Muslims are practicing. They are calling themselves a Muslim. They are just reciting the same Quran. They are offering the prayers. Even they are keeping the fast, and they call them. But if you ask them that what is the difference between you and with the mainstream Muslims, then they will tell you that we are accepting and we have recognized another person whom we think, if we don't believe on him, we don't complete our faith. Just like as you mentioned that the Baha'is, there is a person behind that, is a Baha'u'llah, a Bab. If they don't accept him, they won't be a Baha'i. The same way, it will be easy for you to go through with that one. I used to belong the community which calls Ahmadiyya community, the Ahmadiyya. They also call that we are Muslims, but to become and to be Ahmadi, you have to believe in a person named Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. If you believe in him, if you will accept him, then you become an Ahmadi. Otherwise, according to them, you are a non-Muslim.
So believe in him as a what?
As a, he is the second advent of Sayyidina Isa, we call the Messiah or Jesus, and Imam Mahdi. So a person have to believe on Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani as a Imam Mahdi plus as a Messiah, the second advent of Jesus or Sayyidina Isa.
Don't they also take him to be as a prophet?
They say because the Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was prophet, so he is also a prophet.
Don't they say that he also received some revelations?
Yeah, this is a thing that the revelations, they say, this is revelations are not that which will break the Sharia or which will bring a new Sharia. That's their interpretation. But he has his compilation, which calls a Tazkira, as there are so many his revelations. Those are in English, those are in Arabic, those are in Urdu, or some other languages as well.
Really? English also?
Oh, yeah. If I mention that I shall give you a large party of Islam, you will go to Amritsar, like this is a city of the India. These kind of revelations, yes.
I see. But you know, the most important thing for our discussion is there may be many people listening. There may be many of our non-Muslim brothers and sisters who may be listening to this show, and we welcome them. It's important for them to know that there is only one Islam that was brought by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, given by Allah, or the creator of the universe. There is only one Islam. And according to one Islam, and you can expand on this, there are certain important beliefs that a person has to follow to be claimed as a true Muslim or as a Muslim, right? So what are some of those beliefs that we know the Quran says, the Hadith says, that a person has to follow to be a Muslim, and how the Ahmadi people, they are diluting it or adding to it?
That was, Doctor, thank you so much for this one. This is a very important question. Like the beliefs, they believe that, but they have added one thing. They have twisted one thing, which is that one that Prophet of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the final prophet, who is a Khatamun Nabiyyin, that there is no prophet after him, the prophethood is over. They say no. The founder of this Ahmadiyya, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, who was born in India, town named Qadian, that's why he calls Qadiani. They say that he is a prophet. Prophet after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is against the teaching of Islam. This is against the Quran's message. This is totally, completely against that one, because Quran closed the door of the prophethood. They believe that one. And second, they believe that the Sayyidina Isa, or the Jesus, or the Messiah, who came to the Bani Israel, has died and he's not coming. The person like him having the qualities of Isa, and that is Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. So how a Muslim can accept that one? Because he is not that Isa ibn Maryam. He is not the son of Mary. His mother's name, and he's a newborn, and after 1400 years a new man is claiming and making a claim of prophethood.
You know, that is, as we have discussed earlier, that is actually changing the Islam.
Yes, the identity of Islam even.
Yes, that's changing the identity of Islam. The Islam that people know for literally centuries, that has been highlighted in the Quran and been proclaimed and practiced and propagated by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the noble companions.
Yes. This is the thing. Now, I just want to make it very clear again, once again, as we said in our disclaimer as well. This is the thing we want to remind, because there is maybe some deception, maybe some misunderstanding, like the people would think, because these Ahmadis who follow Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, and they're known as a Qadianis, they same way like the Muslims, they recite Quran, they offer the prayers, and everybody thinks that, oh, because they are practicing this way, they have the same names, so maybe they are the Muslims. Now, there is one sign I want to tell my brother and sisters of Muslims, that if you will ask any Qadiani, Ahmadi, that, okay, let's go for the prayer, and would you offer the prayer behind our Imam? They will never do that one. This is the one sign, number one sign. Right. And if somebody asks, why you are not, if you are saying that you recite the Quran, you believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you believe in Allah, and you are doing the same practices whatever the Muslims are doing, then why you can't offer the prayer behind the imam? They will say, because that imam have not accepted Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, that's why.
I see. Is it also true that they don't also come to the funeral prayers of the Muslims?
They will never offer the Muslims funeral prayers, janaza prayers. Mm-hmm. This is like, okay, I can tell you one incident that the founder of Pakistan, maybe the people will know about this one, the founder of the Pakistan, Muhammad Ali Jinnah, right? When he died, in his cabinet, there was a foreign minister named Zafrullah Khan. He was an Ahmadi. He did not offer the janaza prayer behind that imam because that imam from the Muslim community, from the mainstream Muslims, he said because he haven't accepted the Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, so he's not going to offer a janaza prayer of his, like the country's, but the founder of the country, he will never.
That's a stark example. If they say that, you know, the Islam brought by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, practiced by the Sahabas, if they reject that, then they are changing the face of Islam.
Exactly.
That's the danger.
This is the deception, doctor. Believe me, to be honest with you, here, like you are in United States, I'm in Canada, right? This is a free country. Everybody have the right, whatever they want to practice, whatever they want to preach, they can do that one. No one can stop them.
Right.
But in this country, because this country doesn't mean anything, the religion say it's your personal matter. Whatever you want to guys do, do yourself. But on those places, think about what they do. These Ahmadis, when they go to perform the pilgrimage for the Hajj in the house of Allah in Mecca, when they offer the prayers behind the Imam of Kaaba, now this is the thing to be noted. They say that we, because unfortunately we cannot perform separately here our prayer, so we are bound to offer the prayer behind, but we are not following him, whatever he's reciting. Mm-hmm. And when we will go back to in our hotel room or where we are stayed, we will offer again the prayer our own.
But I'm surprised right now. I thought they have been labeled as non-Muslims by the Saudi Arabia authorities, and they cannot go with the name Qadiani or Ahmadiyya, correct?
Yes, you are right in a sense, but the on the other side is this one, because like from here, America, Canada, England, if any Ahmadi is going, because on the passport there is no like your religious indication over there. There is nothing written that you are Ahmadi or Sunni or Muslim or whatever, because simply name, you are Muslim, that's it. But in Pakistan, they have specified this one, that Muslim are Ahmadi, meaning the Ahmadis are non-Muslim in Pakistan. They are under the declaration of the Constitution of Pakistan, they are non-Muslims. So over there, they have to give the declaration whether they are Ahmadi or they are Muslim. But going from states or from England, from Germany or Canada, because the Canadian American passport doesn't need your religion. So they go, when they enter over there, they enter as a Muslim. Yeah.
So again, going back to our non-Muslim brothers and sisters, it's important for anyone to be a Muslim. They have to fulfill these important beliefs. The first one is to believe in the absolute oneness of God. God is only one. He's not one in three, not in multiple persons and idols, one in one. Secondly, they have to believe in the angels God has created. Thirdly, in the prophets and the messengers. And then Noah and Abraham and Moses, Solomon and David, Ishmael and Isaac, Jesus, and the very last one, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
And the thing is, for our non-Muslim brothers and sisters who want to enter in the fold of Islam, they should know, as I said earlier, that the Ahmadiyya community have the same, like a kind of the poster or their picture that we are also a Muslim, right? But they believe in another person after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man named Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, as a prophet. So they have to be aware of that one. If they are joining that Islam, which is not Islam, because they have given label to themselves as a true Islam. So this is another word. They call Ahmadiyyat is a true Islam. The true Islam or the real Islam is by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not anyone else. This is the main thing they have to be careful, our brother and sisters, a non-Muslim one, when they want to enter in the fold of Islam, they have to be careful.
Right, right.
They are accepting only Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not anyone else.
Right. So I would advise our non-Muslim brothers and sisters two things. Number one, that if you have to Google Islam, there can be so many things that may come up, as all know. Not everything is right. So it's important for us to know that there are some authentic websites and authentic phone numbers that you can call for you to get to know what Islam is and to enter Islam. So one of the websites is gainpeace.com, gainpeace.com. And the telephone number that you can call is 1-800-662-ISLAM, 1-800-662-ISLAM. Brother A.K. Sheikh, mashallah, he also has a vibrant website. He also has a YouTube channel and a Facebook page. And I want people to also contact him, especially those youth from the Ahmadiyya group who may be having doubts, or people who want to discuss with good intention to learn, and our non-Muslim brothers and sisters who want to get into the fold of the true Islam. You can also contact him. So go ahead, why don't you give your contact information?
Thank you so much, Dr. Sabil. First, one thing I want to correct, that my website has now been hacked or compromised with. I don't want to blame to anyone who did that one, but I know and the people know about this one. I reside in Canada. My number is a Canadian number, which have the same area code 1. It's, my number is 1-416-824-4855. I will repeat it again. 1-416-824-4855. And I do have a website, YouTube channel, where, but unfortunately for those people like our English speaking people, that my all majority of the, rather, I can say the 90% videos are in my language in Urdu, because it is regarding the Ahmadiyya, and the founder of Ahmadiyya, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, he has written books in Urdu language. So I have addressed everything in his language, whatever he is saying. So I have to mention and to quote for that one. That's why my videos are in Urdu.
But if somebody calls you, obviously you know pretty good English.
Well, thank you so much.
English, mashallah, so.
So if people can understand me here, if they think so, this kind of a little bit English I can speak. So my videos are there, that my Ahmed Kareem Sheikh, if you write on the YouTube or AK Sheikh, you will find. On the other side, on the Facebook page where I'm active nowadays, that is Ahmed Kareem, my name, you can see on that under my picture. And you have to add Sheikh, S-H-A-I-K-H. That is Ahmed Kareem Sheikh. You will find me on the Facebook as well.
Okay, mashallah. So please contact him. So there are two things we want to accomplish as we proceed, inshallah. Then we can wrap up. One thing would be your story, which I will come to it quickly. Okay. Inshallah, all right? It's a really amazing story. But before that, it's important for us to establish some foundation for the true Islam. That what is Islam? What is its foundation? And where is that foundation coming from? And then we can transit into your story, inshallah.
Okay, thank you. So, the Islam is like from the very first human being till the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the chain of prophets, they brought the message of Allah, the teaching of Allah as a Muslim, an awwal Muslimun. All have the same. The final, like the constitution, the final chapter, the final teaching in the shape of Quran, Allah has revealed on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is complete. There is nothing left over which like somebody have to come again and teach us and tell us. No, everything is, job is done. No, it is our duty to practice on that one. We have to live our life according to the teaching and the rules and the laws of Quran. That is Islam. And that Islam does not open any kind of a door that the new one, newcomer will come and he will teach us and he will tell us. No, the Quran book is there.
That why not a new book? Why not a new prophet? You know, things are changing. Seventh century prophet. Why not somebody now, 21st century? What would you say to them?
The doctor is very clear that this book, if somebody will study the Quran, Quran is, even will go millions of years from now on. You will find every solution in the Quran. Quran talks about the science. Quran talks about the medical and everything. I'll just give one example, and it will be like the time, 1400 years before, the man never knew anything that how a child gives a birth, how a woman gives a birth. And he tells when you conceive how much time your sperm stays in the womb of your mother, and how long it takes and how it comes. Now the science have told that what are the stages to develop that, the fetus, right?
Yes, yes. So, mashallah.
I'm just telling that this, the book has everything. Like today we are, according to our like knowledge, according to our level, we understood the Quran. Now, down the road after 100 years, if someone comes, definitely they will find everything from that book. Live book is not the book. It was for that time when it was revealed. This book is forever. That's what I meant.
No, mashallah, this is so excellent way that, you know, people have to know that even though we have new technologies, and new technologies may come in the future, but our basic needs as humans, us forming societies, us need to have a desire to connect with God, have a system in the world. The solutions are given in the Quran, in the Prophet's Sunnah. And
exactly.
Those are enough, those are complete, and those are perfected. If anything is perfected, something is complete, there is no need for a new book, a new prophet, correct?
Exactly. To be honest, even I said, like a Quran has mentioned, that you keep your horses ready on your borders, for example. Now, the Quran have used the word horses. Not today. We have the missiles and the rockets and everything. Obviously, today we cannot say. The word we cannot change, but the meanings, the concept, we know that the Quran have used that one for what that. And you said very correctly that the life of our prophet, that is the main thing, that how he has spent his life and what he told us, and the achieve, what is our goal. We have to meet our Lord, we have to meet our God, and how we can, that one, following his teaching, his commandments, and looking at his prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can reach and we can get our goal with that.
Right. You know, there is a really important verse in the Quran, chapter number 5, verse number 3. I'll just give you a segment of the verse with the translation. So it basically says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that today I have perfected the faith for you, completed my favors upon you, and I have given you al-Islam as your deen, as your way of life. So the Quran is very clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed the favors.
That's exactly. Right? Surah Maida. Yes, exactly, that has been given that. Yes.
Right. So it's important for us that our purpose in life is to meet the Creator, follow His guidance, so by His grace He can put us into paradise. So we have to be really careful. We cannot just blindly follow what our forefathers may have followed, our parents, our culture. They have to be responsible. They have to face in the front of the Creator for their beliefs and their deeds. You and me and each single one of us individually, we have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe, for our beliefs and our deeds. So we have to be really careful that we need to investigate and do the research, consult with the scholars, and then with Allah's help, choose it.
No, exactly. That's what you said. We have not to follow our forefathers. And believe me, that is what I'm here. My forefathers were what they were. I'm not like all that. They were different. They have different belief than me. And I have like searched, looked at that one, that from where they were derooted, like they were thinking that they are Muslim too. They were thinking that they are practicing Islam. But whereas when you look at that, the teaching of Quran, they were not practicing. If they would have were practicing Islam, then they would not accept that person who claimed to be a prophet. So I am the perfect example for them, or for the other ones that look, I'm not following my mother and father's belief. I'm following the real belief which Allah bestowed on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So in which way that you say that the Quran says this, but they contradict the Quran in taking this person as a new prophet? What is the decisive verse in the Quran?
That is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Khatam al-Nabiyyin. There is no prophet, there is nothing prophethood after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no any commandment after the Quran. Now, they have many commandments like this. The new prophet, he's like Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. He made a claim which is completely against the Quranic teaching. And he said that he has the revelations. This is against, totally against the Quran. For example, I'll give you one example. The Quran says that if there is a time when you have to, now, I just want to make it very clear, it is not defensive. It is just in our own defense. I'm talking about the defensive, meaning I'm talking about jihad. You cannot take the weapon or the sword in your hand and go and tell the people, oh, you should be, no, not at all. Even someone even attacks to you, you have to tell him, look, no, there is nothing. But if you think this is the last point, in your defense, yes, you can raise that one. Jihad. Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, this the new claimant of the prophethood, said it's absolutely when did no one, not a single one commandment, you cannot suspend, you cannot deny from that one. Nobody have the authority of that one, but he said, no, jihad is no more.
So it's important for our viewers to know that jihad is not limited only to a defensive war. People are attacking you, as the Quran says in chapter 2, verse number 190. God. Fight in the cause of God, Allah, for those who fight against you. If somebody is imposing war on you to compromise your faith, your country, property, family, then you have the God-given right to defend yourself. But in that self-defense, Allah is saying that do not go to extreme. Allah does not love the extremist.
Not at all. He said you cannot attack to the woman. You cannot attack on the children. You cannot burn their trees or their place of worship. But this man who made a claim, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, he said, no, it's obsolete. Finished. No more. So if somebody comes and says the commandment of Quran is no more valid, think about that one, how big crime he is committing.
Right. I think, but the biggest thing of the many things that he and their followers, they go against the Quran and the true Islam.
Yes.
The biggest, I would say, the contradiction that they have with the Quran, the word of Allah, is that they're diluting and they're contradicting the finality of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. As you mentioned, so that verse is there in the Quran, Surah number 33, verse number 40. And the word says, and the word ends by saying that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he is the Khatam al-Nabiyyin. That means he is the seal of the prophets. But right. There is one more way to read this. That is Khatim. Khatim means he is the final. Mm-hmm. Some people may come and say, you know, one time I was having this presentation in Oklahoma, and there was a discussion between myself and a person who raised the hand to ask question from the audience. And she was saying that, you know, Dr. Sabir, you were saying that hijab is mandatory. I don't see any verse in the Quran that speaks about hijab. Hijab means the one is covering as being mandatory. I mentioned to her, don't take my word. Let's take not your word. If you have any dispute regarding the correct interpretation of the Quran, we have to go back to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So when these verses were revealed about the modest covering, in chapter 24, verse number 31, and chapter 33, verse number 59. when these passages were revealed, what was the interpretation of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him? How did the noble, how did the female companions, how did they practice this interpretation of these verses about hijab and modesty? So if there is any dispute between us, any scholar now, we have to go back to the Prophet's interpretation and his practice. So when we look at this verse of the Quran, our Qadiani brothers and sisters, they may say that, you know, seal means fine. He was a seal at that time. He was a lawgiver, but no new law-giving prophet is to come.
Yes.
Don't they say that?
Yes, that's what they say.
Right?
Yes.
But then they say, you know, our person is not a lawgiver prophet.
Right, right. But the thing is, as we said that it is final, all the teaching and the commandments in Quran, everything is final. Now, he's according to him, whereas this jihad, the other thing he mentioned that no one can, like Ahmadi girl cannot marry to a Muslim boy. But this is the thing, but the Muslims, if they want to marry a Muslim girl, want to marry a Muslim Ahmadi boy, yes, she can marry. Because we can bend her, because she will be depending on us. If her girl will go there, she will become a Muslim and she will be bent by the Muslims. That's one. The other thing, he said, no, we have not to marry with the Muslims. He suspended that one.
It's important for us to know that there are many, many authentic narrations from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that speaks about that he is the last prophet, he is the last messenger. It's good for our viewers to know it. It's good for our Ahmadi brothers and sisters to know it. I mean, we consider them as brothers and sisters in humanity. And we need to obviously, you know, inform them. If we love them, we need to educate them. We need to invite them towards this side, to the true Islam. So there is a narration, this is in many, many authentic narrations from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So the Prophet said, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that my position to the prophets, in relation to the prophets who came before me, can be explained by this following example. A man erected a building and beautified the building with great beauty, but he left one empty space, one niche in the corner, where just one brick was missing. People looked around the building and marveled at its beauty, but wondered why is the brick was missing from that place. I am like unto that one missing brick. I am the last and the final of all the prophets. So Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was really emphatic, really clear. If some people have, you know, two different positions about what the Quran says, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, indirectly receiving the revelation also, he's quite clear. He's the last prophet and he's the last messenger. The Islam that has been followed and practiced and interpreted by the body of the scholarship. I mean, okay, fine. Even if you don't take the scholars, we know that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was really emphatic. I mean, I have paper after paper here, you know, authentic narrations, maybe 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 of them. That speaks about, in a clear-cut way, Muhammad, peace be upon him, he's saying, no new prophet is to come. The chain has been closed. I'm the last one. No, I'm the last messenger. I'm the last prophet. But then he warned humanity that there will be 30, there will be arising 30 imposters in my ummah. And each one of them will pronounce to the world that he's a prophet. But I am, he says, I am the last in the line of prophets of Allah, and no prophet will come after me. For that reason, it's important that even the Sahaba, Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar and Ali and Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, all of them, when imposters, when they were arising in the time of them, in the first, second, third generation, these noble companions of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and this is a good important message to the Qadiani brothers and sisters. These noble companions of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, they did not send delegations to these imposters. Hey, are you receiving true revelations? Show us the miracles, show us the evidence. No, they knew them to be imposters, and they were dealt as imposters. Islam is believed by the majority of the Muslims or the majority of the people compared to a 10 million people, 1.8 billion compared to 10. If you want to know the truth, go first of all to the Quran. Second, to these clear-cut narrations from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Third, obviously, you can go and see the companions of Muhammad, peace be upon him. Did they hold your view that a prophet would be coming, the door is open? No, none of them held that view. Not a single companion. Every single companion of Muhammad, peace be upon him, they also, their interpretation coming from the Sunnah, coming from the Quran, is that prophethood has been completed with the coming of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Go ahead.
As you mentioned, Doctor, the thing, yes, I can hear you.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. As you mentioned, that these, our Ahmadi brothers and sisters in humanity, they should know that Mirza Ghulam Ahmed himself used to believe that there will be no prophet after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even he has written with his own pen that if I will make any claim of prophethood, I will be out of the fold of Islam. The person is writing with his own pen. And after that, must be there is something wrong with his approach, with his way of thinking, that he made a claim that I am a prophet. Because I think, and I'm sure about this one, as you mentioned, Doctor, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there will be a 30 false claimant will come after me. So might be he have to prove that the forecast, the saying of the Prophet Muhammad. That's why he made a claim. Because he wrote first, he first said that if I will make a claim of prophethood, I'll be out of the fold of Islam. And then he made a claim. So he is the one, he's the very big sign, the fulfillment of the forecast of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So what you're saying is that in his writings, he himself wrote down.
Dr. Samir, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Repeatedly he wrote that if I will make a claim that I'm a prophet, then I will be out of fold of Islam. Obviously, they should know this thing. If they don't know, this is the thing that their elders, they don't tell them what he has written in his books. And unfortunately, the Ahmadi young ones, they don't read, and they cannot read because his books are in different language. What they are, like we are talking in English, his books are in Urdu.
So it's important
You will be surprised that 95% Ahmadis have not read his books.
You know, so that's quite unfortunate that hopefully those young Ahmadi brothers and sisters in humanity, as they're watching this show, they should know that if they believe in the Quran, if they believe in Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, then they should examine their beliefs with the Quran and also the clear-cut teachings and sayings from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And once they do it, we will see that the beliefs of the Ahmadis, when it comes to the finality of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, contradicts the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad, peace be upon him. That itself should raise many, many facts in their heads and minds. And then they should do research, and they should contact Brother AK Sheikh and myself and the Game Peace. And we can talk to inshallah more.
Yes, inshallah.
So really, let's come back to your story, mashallah. I mean, I heard from many sources, mashallah, that you have entered Islam. But before entering Islam, just tell us briefly, for how long were you on the other side and what made you to do the transition, please?
Dr. V, thank you so much for this one. Actually, you have less time in that one, but I'll try to...
Yeah, just make it nice and precise, inshallah. Yeah.
The thing is, I was born in them. And I was born in the same town from where this movement started, like a Qadian. I was also, my birth is also from the Qadian. And my family, and the other thing which actually I should tell you, that the people who have accepted Mirza Ghulam Ahmed Qadiani, who have seen him, they called, and another thing, Mirza Ghulam Ahmed have this claim too, that he's the second advent of Mazallah, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said that he came as Prophet Muhammad again in this world. So he said, exactly, knows Billah. And he said that whoever accepted me and seen me, he is just like Sahaba, Sahaba-e Rasul, like a companion of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he gave them the name Sahaba. So my grandmother was the Sahaba of Mirza Ghulam Ahmed. Just imagine. So I belong to that family. I spent up to 50 years, half a century of my life I spent in this community.
50 years.
50 years, half a century.
You know, it's amazing that once a person spends that long with some ideology, certain culture, certain environment, it becomes really hard for a person to look outside the box. Forget about coming to the other side of the fence. Just looking outside the box itself becomes next to impossible. So, I mean, why the transition?
And I was I was an active part of this system.
I see.
Not like a layman, not like a common person. No, it's not like that. My mostly like was in the organizational things and the administrative levels. So I had this one, that we are the one who never lie, who always speak the truth. And the incident happened, they asked me to do certain things and they lied to me. And that was my turning point. Believe me, to be honest, I said in my every interview, I said openly on air, that I never had a doubt on Mirza Ghulam Ahmed. I never had a doubt on his teaching or anything. I was believing him like, yes, he's right. But when a responsible person who is in charge of the Canadian chapter, he lied to me, and that was my turning point.
I see.
And then I start studying. Then I open his books. You know, in his books, he says that if somebody does not read my books 3 times, I have a doubt about his belief. I have a doubt about his belief if somebody does not read 3 times my book. So I read 4 times.
You did, okay.
And so what made me, to be honest with you, when I saw the contradictions, his teachings with the Quran, to be honest, I was stunned. I could not control myself. I said, I have to share with my people that, look, what is going on here? What they are telling us, what we are listening, because we don't bother as a Ahmadi, we don't bother to open his books. We believe in so much to these over all these murabbis and all these over office bearer people. No. We have to look into that one. Then I started this one. I launched a video website. When I did this one, they asked my all the siblings, my brothers, sister, nephew, nieces, my wife even, that nobody will have a contact with this person. Could you imagine?
So they really boycotted you.
Totally. Worse than Kufar-e Makkah, I'm sorry to say. Worse than Kufar-e Makkah. I left them in 1997, and I opened my mouth. I start this awareness in 2000. Now, 20 years from 2020, from 2000 to 2020, I am away from my wife. My wife cannot meet me. My wife cannot live with me.
Really?
Because, yes, my brothers and sisters cannot talk to me. You will be surprised. Doctor, you will be surprised. Day before yesterday, somebody sent me a video clip. The video clip of one of my sister's son he is responding, talking about me, or that my uncle nowadays on that the social media he's talking, but my mother ordered me, now watch his words, my mother ordered me, do not talk to him, do not listen to him.
And this is your nephew, you said, or?
My sister's son.
Okay. Yeah, your nephew.
My sister's son.
Yes.
Telling on air, on the video, telling the people that I saw him on that, and I did not. I turned it off, that one. No. Whose behavior is this one? Whose attitude is this one? Kuffar-e Makkah. They used to do that one. No, according to them, if I'm wrong, according to them, if I'm not, I got some misunderstanding. Why you did not tell me the truth? Why don't you come to me? Why did you tell my brothers and sisters, do not talk to him, boycott him? You told my wife not to see him. I'm living without my wife. I'm alone. This one. But they couldn't ban me, to be honest with you, because that poor lady, she thinks that if we will be together, she will be kicked out, she will be expelled from there. This is how they treat.
So and this is a...
Yeah. It's a cult, I'm sorry to say. It's a cult. Yeah, not Islam. This is not Islam. The Islam teaching is that one, that look at this one, what do you do? But if you look at them, if somebody raises his voice, they say, no, expel this person. If somebody does not pay, that they call the chanda, right? I call it tax. Because the obligation in Islam is your zakat. Islam have a system because it's a code of life. Now, on top of that, they are charging 6.25% of your income. Every member, no matter you are a student, no matter you are a businessman, no matter you are an employee, whatever is your pocket money, whatever is your income, whatever is your profit from your business, you have to pay every month 6.25% of your income.
However, you know, some people, they may complain, how come the media is inviting them and not us? And I say to those Muslim brothers and sisters that, you know, once a good product enters a market, the bad product automatically is faded away. So why don't you become that good product? Why don't you follow the example of the Quran and the Sunnah? Be a peacemaker, an activist, an ambassador of peace to the society. That's when this good product reflected in you from the Quran and the Sunnah will be recognized. You'll be up on the radar and you will be invited to propagate the faith and to share what you're doing. So we cannot have a victim mentality. So that's a message for our Muslim brothers and sisters. And also for our Ahmadi brothers and sisters of humanity. And you can also add is that it's important for us, just like for yourself, mashallah, education was the key. Education was the key. You started to read and you know the Urdu language and you were reading in the original language of what Mirza Qadiani has written, correct?
Has written, with original words.
Yes, in the original words. Even if you don't know Urdu, my young brothers and sisters of humanity, so educate yourself, number one. Number two, talk to a Muslim. Talk to a Muslim about the Quran, about the Prophet Sunnah.
Yes.
And if anything contradicts from where you are coming from compared to what this is teaching, then you have to recognize that one day you have to face Allah. And at that time, your brother, your sister, your wife, mother, you know, any imam, none of them may come to save you except your belief and your amal with Allah's grace. So it's important. A lot of things are counting on us. And lastly, we want to address our own Muslims that our faith is a faith of justice and peace, not of persecution. Doesn't matter Pakistan, Indonesia, anywhere.
Yes.
If you disagree with somebody's faith, somebody's ideology, with a smile, with compassion, with empathy, convey to them the proper faith. Sit down with them as brothers and sisters. That was the way Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that he did. And that's the way to win hearts and minds of humanity, inshallah. Please go ahead and get the last word.
Thank you so much, Doctor. Thank you so much. Actually, the last words, what you said, I will endorse those. Mm-hmm. And I will say that for those, like, there should be no persecution whatsoever. This Ahmadiyya community should be given the invitation of the real teaching of Islam by the Muslims. And we should love them. We should respect them. We should not hate them. No matter they hate, no matter whatever they did to me, they do that to whoever disagree with them or who's not accepting them. But as a Muslim, we have to protect them. We have to love them. They are human beings. They are the one who have taken the wrong path, and they have to come to the right path. And it is our duty. It is our job to bring them back. And I really appreciate, Dr. Sabil, to you that you have taken this, your duty, and you are doing the job. You are inviting the non-Muslims to the Ahmadis towards the Islam. We are the one, we have to show our attitude that what our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did with our opponents, with the opponents of Islam, how he treated them. And we have to treat these Ahmadis the same way. We have to save them. We have to respect them. We have to love them. They can abuse. They can do whatever they want. They can order to my wife that don't see your husband. They can tell my brothers, sisters, do not see Mr. A.K. Shea. But I will tell them, my arms are open. I am open. You can come and you can talk to me. Doctor, I really appreciate and thank you so much. Islam is a peace. And it will be a peace in the world, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. So let's close with the Quranic ayah of invitation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah 16, Surah Nahl, ayah number 125. Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wa ma'izatil hasanati wa jadilhum billati hiya. That invite all to the way of Allah with wisdom and good preaching. Not persecution,
good. Yeah.
Good preaching and converse preaching. With them in ways which are best and gracious. So with that, Jazakallah khair for coming and spend the rest of the days of Ramadan in Ibadat and pray for me, my family, for you. And may Allah accept it from all of us. Jazakallah
khair. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless your family. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. Thank you.